for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Good morning. Walking through the garden with Steve Stone. How are you this morning, Steve?
Doing really good this morning. It's going to be a nice day. I think they said nearly 70.
Yep. A little bit of a breeze. Before they were talking maybe 5 to 10. Now they're talking 15 to 20, but still a lot better than the storms we had go through the other night. But I don't think we had much damage around here.
No, I didn't notice anything.
Dark County, there was stuff. I had a couple little branches, and I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was more than that. But they had some big-time problems a little south of us, but that's not us, so that's good.
That's right. Yep, a lot to get to today. Again, just... spring's here, basically, if you haven't paid much of attention. We were talking before the show started. I think it's time to get that lawnmower out and get it dusted off, because the turf is really, with the spring thunderstorms we've had, the rain we've had, and the temperatures, and they're calling for, I think, pretty close to 70 degrees today.
Yeah.
The grass is going to be growing, and so it's going to be time to...
Well, I put my... my trickle charge on my battery, so it'll probably start.
There you go. I don't know if it sounds stupid or not, but you need to get the mower out. You need to get, you know, the deck cleaned out from underneath all the debris from last year. You want to take a sharp metal, like a putty knife or something, and clean the deck underneath and get the stuff that's kind of been caked on there through the years, or certainly through last season. And absolutely take that blade off. And if you can't do it, there's lots of services around here like Hall Brothers, K&L. Those guys would be more than happy to get your mower and get it cleaned up and get it running and ready for the season. It's really important to get that blade off and get it sharp. I don't know. A lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to that, and it can really make a huge difference on how the lawn reacts and grows and thrives if that blade is really sharp. If you're in the industry like me, you could just about tell a dull blade from the road, like driving by. It's pretty obvious when you look at a lawn that even maybe has good color, or a good texture, even a good density to the turf. But if that blade's dull, it looks bad, and it doesn't cut the blades. It tears the blades.
Why are you looking straight at me when you say that?
Again, get those blades sharp. You wouldn't go to a doctor, which you needed a surgery, that had a rusty scalpel. So make sure the blades are really, really sharp. And it just creates, for your turf, it creates a very clean cut, and that's very easy for the turf to heal. This time of year, it's not as big a deal, because when you have that blade and you cut the blade, it will lose moisture through that wound. And if it's a clean cut, it's going to heal very quickly, and the plant's not going to really struggle and lose a lot of moisture. If it tears the blade, it creates a wound or damage that's very hard to heal, and it just simply loses a lot of moisture. That's why, again, it's a little bit more forgiving this time of year, because we should have plenty of moisture, and we have a lot cooler temperatures. When you get into summertime, it can create a lot of problems, because again, when the turf's struggling for moisture anyhow, and it's hot and dry, and you go out and mow, you just create injury that then the plant loses a tremendous amount of moisture, and it just exacerbates the heat and the lack of rainfall in, say, July, August. So again, very important, make sure the mower running, make sure that the blades are sharp. And again, the first time through the lawn in the spring, you probably have lots of branches to pick up, and maybe some sod rolled over, damaged from snow removal, things like that. So give yourself a little bit extra time and take a little bit extra care. Some of those areas, if you found that are, you know, rolled over due to snow plows and stuff like that, you might be able to pick those up gently and kind of roll them back over and take your foot and stomp them back into place. And again, with the time of year that it is, you'll be surprised a lot of those things that look like significant problems and real major damage can actually be fixed relatively easily. So I know I'm getting the mower out and cleaning it up today and, well, whenever I get off of work and hopefully get to...
Is your boss pretty tough about you leaving early?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how tough my boss is, especially this time of year. It's really hard to get away, but definitely want to get out there and mow. A lot of people ask, you know, the first time the for mowing for the season, is there anything different you need to do? And I would say probably not. Depending on, you know, the effort and the time that you want to put, you know, into your lawn, you know, first time around, you know, may not be a bad idea to run a thatcher through the lawn if you want to. I know through the winter you can certainly have some dead tissue, some dead turf, and it's probably not a bad idea to run a thatcher through there, kind of loosen all that dead stuff up. Also, if your last mowing was early last fall, you know, the turf can be kind of matted and laying down, and again that thatcher kind of loosens stuff up. It takes a lot of the dead turf out. It gets, you know, air, kind of aerates the turf itself from being matted, you know, all winter long. And we did have some pretty heavy snowfall in February, so that's going to, you know, again, kind of pack or mash the grass down. So loosening that up is a good idea. Aerating, you know, thatching is a good idea. Aerating is also a very good idea this time of year, using a hollow tine core aerator and going through your lawn and aerating. Again, perfect time of year to do that. Not an expensive or difficult process. It can be done with a pull-behind aerator or a walk-behind aerator. Again, there's really no investment you have except time and the rental of the piece of equipment if you don't own one. And that rental is usually very inexpensive, and you can rent those at I don't know, K&O used to have one, and I know the hardware stores usually have one that you can rent. So makes a big difference in, again, turf density over the season. Now, when you're done, you're probably going to be maybe somewhat disappointed with the way it looks, because you're going to have these large cores laying all over the place. And the dog and your feet are going to have the potential to track them in after rainfall. But those you don't need to rake up. I've had people try and ask, and in some cases have gone to the effort of raking those up, the cores, and that is absolutely not necessary, not the thing to do. Just leave those go. They're going to melt or deteriorate and kind of work themselves back down into the soil. But aeration can make a huge difference in turf quality, and it's not done nearly enough in our area.
So I don't know when and where I heard it, but somebody told me decades ago that you want to make your first mowing an inch or so higher than you normally would cut it. Is that now? That may be. I looked at my lawn, and it, you know, there's places where it might need it, but there's places that it doesn't yet. So is that just to kind of level off those high shoots, or is that just completely the wrong thing to do?
I don't know. With, you know, setting your deck up a notch or two for your first mowing, I can't think of any advantages that might gain you from, you know, again, from just a typical mowing. I would mow it at whatever your spring height should be, somewhere probably no shorter than 2 inches. I think my mower set, I'd have to double check, but I think it's set on about, it's either 2.5 or 3 inches, which is fine for this time of year. Now, when we get into, you know, June, July, that's definitely going to go up, and I'm going to be somewhere between 3 and as many as 4 inches, which sounds really tall, but if you keep it maintained at a higher height like that, as far as mowing goes, the turf does a lot better, and it will get through the summer a lot better than if you're you know, scalping or mowing it really low, because the taller blades actually shade the ground. And so if we do get a little bit of moisture blowing through in the summertime, it doesn't evaporate as quickly. If you scalp it and mow it real short, the sun beats down on that soil and evaporates the moisture almost immediately. And so you're going to deal with, you know, turf that's dried out. Or your turf's going to dry out a lot faster. So mowing height this time of year, especially like bluegrass, should be I would personally say no shorter than 2.5 inches. So kind of, you know, take a ruler, tape measure, kind of check your deck and make sure. And if you're going to err on the side of, I'm not sure, err on the side of it being a little bit taller than a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference. If you get a lawn service, and there's lots of lawn services out there that will treat your lawn, you know, and we've treated yards for years and years and years, and we work with Buckeye EcoCare, works out of my office now, and they do all of our applications, and they do my applications as well. And, you know, those guys that are the guys that are treating your lawn, they're about, you know, 30%. Of what your lawn's going to look like. They're responsible for about 30% of that. Because mm-hmm. people, if you're paying for lawn service, like, well, if my lawn looks like crap, it's not my fault. It's whoever's taking care of my lawn's fault. Absolutely not the case.
Unless you have a personal gardener that's his job to do all that, which is usually yourself.
Right. You know, 30% is about as max as they're going to get, because they're going to do the applications, and if they're doing a good job, and most of the people around here do a very, very, very good job. Buckeye EcoCare does an outstanding job. They're going to, you know, they know what they're applying. They know the fertilizer, the ratios. They know, you know, when to apply. They know what they're chasing, if they're chasing weeds or if they're chasing crabgrass or bugs or whatever. They're doing a really, really, really good job of monitoring and getting the applications down when they're supposed to. So that's, again, I guess it's 33% of what you're dealing with. The other 33% is going to be Mother Nature. And if you don't have an irrigation system, you're just simply, you know, dealing with Mother Nature. And in a farming community, dealing with Mother Nature can be, you know, sometimes pleasant and sometimes not so pleasant.
Yep.
So Mother Nature is 33% of it. And then you, how you take care of your lawn, how you mow it, how, you know, everything you do at home and with the dogs and the kids and the traffic and everything, that's absolutely 33%. So the guy that's doing the applications can't be responsible for moisture if it's getting too much or not nearly enough. Also can't be responsible for, you know, when you're mowing, you know, how, the frequency of your mowing. You know, I always try to help people with the height that they're mowing and tell them that's too tall, that's too short. I don't think I've ever said that's too tall, but certainly run into instances where, well, that's way too short and your blades are really dull. And it's like, well, how can you tell that? And it's like, well, because the grass is an inch tall and all the tops of the blades are torn to ribbons. So pretty obvious.
To you, not to the rest of us.
So that, you know, again, that's, you know, just there's three parts to that. And you, to have a beautiful lawn, especially without irrigation, and to make it through a, you know, a typical summer for us, which, you know, again, is going to be July, August is usually going to be hot and dry. Those are all parts. And if one of those parts is out of whack, you know, then your lawn probably isn't going to be as lush and beautiful as you would like. So,
yep. So, it sounds like you think taller is better. Probably a lot of people.
It's like playing basketball, yeah. Neil. Yeah. Taller is,
yeah,
better.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people think they need to cut it like inch and a half or something because it's getting too tall. But it sounds like being even is what you're after. And people think they have to, if it starts getting too tall, they think that it's not even and it doesn't look.
Well, if you maintain a, you know, like my lawn, I mean, I guarantee in the summertime, like last summer when it was hot and dry, summer before it was wet nearly all summer, but yeah. Last summer it got pretty hot and dry. I mow it 4 inches when it's like the dead heat of the summer. And I mean, I think my lawn, usual last summer, actually, it was kind of a train wreck. But I think mine looks pretty consistent all the time. And again, it just is, once you get it up to that height and you keep it mowed at that height, it does. I mean, yeah, you can't go through and mow a lawn at 4 inches that is constantly been done at 2 inches and expect it to look even. It's going to take a 2 or 3 weeks of mowing it at the consistent height to get it nice and even and a little bit fuller. Again, what you run into with, I think some people, and it, you know, it's kind of, if you just sit and think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, I'm going to mow at 1.5 inches and I don't have to mow as much. Well, no, if you're mowing consistently, the grass is going to grow at the same rate. So you're going to be mowing at the same.
Yeah. Whether it's 1.5 inches or 4 inches.
Right. You're going to be mowing the same amount. Yeah. But you can get away with, obviously, if you mow it 1.5 inches and then you can maybe let it go 1.5 weeks and then mow again. But if then you're creating another problem, I guess you could say, because you never, when you're mowing, I know in the spring it's difficult. In the spring it's hugely difficult because it, you know, we get rain and you just simply can't get out on the lawn to get it mowed consistently. But you never want to take more than a third of the leaf blade itself off at any given mowing. So again, if you mowed it 1.5 inches and let it go for 2 weeks and then go back in and mow it 1.5 inches, you're taking 2/3 of that grass blade off.
Yeah.
A, that is either you're going to be like raking or vacuuming or sweeping a lot of clumps and nastiness out of your lawn because it's so long. That's part of it. And then the other part of it, when you're taking 2/3 of that blade off at one time, again, that creates, you know, physiological problems for the turf. It struggles. It's not going to heal. It's going to struggle. You know, again, plants, whether it's a tree or, well, I mean, perfect example would be a tree or a shrub. I mean, the tree's happy and growing and doing its thing. And then you come in and take off 2/3 of its branches or leaves. Mm-hmm. That tree's going to struggle, man, because it's
Yeah, but it's easier to see where you've been.
That's for sure. So you create physiological problems for the plant. It struggles to photosynthesize and do what it's supposed to do because you're taking off all of that leaf tissue. So that's why you only want to take a third off at any given time, and then the plant can heal quickly and then it just continues to grow. When you really scalp it, which some people I guess probably don't care.
Yeah.
That they want to mow less frequently. I'm trying to give advice on how to keep your turf, you know, happy and healthy and looking as good as possible.
Yep.
And in the long run, I mean, you know, keeping it thick and dense, you know, eliminates weed pressures and issues. You know, a healthy turf is going to require less nutrients. It's going to be able to squeeze out weeds. It's going to be able to tolerate insect issues better because of anything that's healthy is going to battle better when they're dealing with difficult circumstances, again, being weeds, bugs, whatever. So it's just the best way to do it.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a little bit. More stuff from Steve Stone.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wrangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wrangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Wow.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Tow and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow.
We're back. Steve Stone, Walk Through the Garden. We first segment, we were talking about lawn care and height of your mowing and several other things. So, are we continuing that in this segment, or are we going to shift gears?
No, there's a, you know, again, we were talking before the break about lawn aeration and how important, you know, lawn aeration is to keeping the turf happy and healthy. And part of that, or the biggest part of that, is aerating the ground and keeping the turf healthy is kind of goes hand in hand, because roots, whether it's a turf or trees or whatever, aren't drill bits. They can't just simply, I've heard people say, well, I can't plant that tree next to my house because the roots are going to go through the foundation. No. Roots don't go through concrete or asphalt. In fact, they can't make it through a heavily compacted soil in some cases. They just, heavily compacted soils, there's usually no moisture there, there's no oxygen in there, and so the turf just can't go.
So it just decides to go a different direction.
Well, what usually happens with turf specifically, especially this time of year, mm-hmm. if it can't get down into the ground where it wants to be, it simply just grows right on the surface, like within an inch or two of the surface, and it just goes horizontal versus vertical, and it, so everything's right on the surface, which is fine for spring. Obviously, as soon as we get our first 85 degree day or 90 degree day with high winds or, you know, breezy conditions, stands to reason that that turf is immediately, I mean, literally from the time you go to work to the time you get home, literally it can start going off color because of, you know, just it dries out that quickly. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm kind of going this direction is aeration promotes a dense, thick, heavy root system, so you're not going to have that issue. It is the time of year, and I've already seen I've seen some companies out, and they, you know, have.
Is this your favorite thing?
Yeah, they have rollers out, and they're, you know, rolling lawns, and some of them have little like mini like. Road asphalt rollers that you would use for a driveway application if you're doing asphalt in your driveway, and they're just out tooling around, you know, through people's yards and charging them to destroy their yards.
They don't think they're doing that,
so
they're making them nice and flat.
Well, if you want nice
and level,
if you want nice, flat, and level, then buy a NASCAR and go to Talladega, buy an Indy car and go to Indianapolis, and those places are nice and flat, and you can drive your lawnmower as fast as you want and your beer won't spill. If you want a really nice looking yard that's very thick, dense, and healthy, use third gear instead of fifth, and
But it takes too long.
And aerate and try as best you can not to roll. Rolling is a horrible practice, and it's just tough on lawns. It just doesn't promote good turf health and turf development. If you don't care about turf health and turf development, by all means, roll the living daylights out of your yard.
Well, that's what the lawn care service is for, to make that look nice.
If you want your lawn to be totally brown, dead, and unhealthy through latter part of June, July, and August, when it's hot and dry, because the roots aren't going to go anywhere. They're going to be right at the surface. The turf's going to immediately go off color, and you're not going to mow until we start getting rains in September. If that's what you're after, then by all means, it's going to work great.
Is that for kind of anywhere and everywhere in the country, or just like around here where it's lots and lots of clay?
Well, most certainly we have a type of soil that is, I mean, obviously it grows phenomenal, you know, corn and soybeans and wheat.
Yeah, but we plow it.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, people give me a hard time about that all the time. And I'm like, well, my answer to that is I've never seen a farmer rolling his fields. I've seen them disking. I've seen them chisel plowing. I've seen them, you know, regular plowing. I've seen them do their subsurface tool that kind of all their main focus besides planting and harvesting is loosening that ground up. That's their task. If they're not growing crops, their other task is to, oh my gosh, I got to get out there. I got to chisel plow. I got to do something to loosen that ground up. I've never seen one of them out there with a great big roller rolling their fields so they can drive their tractors faster.
Well, maybe that's something you ought to get some people out there and buy a whole bunch of rollers and help the farmers roll their fields.
Do some research and figure out that it's actually good for your... That is true what you mentioned before, though. Our heavy clay soils, and again, we can get into agronomy, but that's probably not what people want to hear. Our heavy clay soils has little tiny... Clay has little tiny particles in it to create that soil, and when you pack that together, or over time it kind of does it on its own. If you pack that together, again, there's no pore space, there's no movement of not good movement of water or oxygen through the soil. If you have a looser soil with more organic matter, or certainly if you head south, different places that have sandy soil, the particle sizes are dramatically bigger. So you have good pore space, so you have good air throughout, kind of moving throughout the soil horizon. The moisture will percolate through very easily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't, you know, even on the beach, you know, you can't take a roller or whatever and pack sand tight, because it just simply won't happen because of the size of the particles of sand. While clay, on the other hand, has a tiny particle size. And so it can get packed to the point. There's been studies done, like, especially around here, if you're in, you know, the construction end of things, I mean, with vibratory rollers and the sheep's foot rollers and things like that, you can actually pack clay density-wise. You can pack it more dense than asphalt. So that's how, you know, again, plants struggle. And again, I, you know, have been asked or complained to by clients, you know, why is this tree die all the time? And if we're in an area that I say is a disturbed site, which would be, you know, sometimes, you know, some of the developments that we work in are certainly disturbed sites where the roads go in, the foundations go in, and whatever was there as far as a good topsoil that used to be there is gone. It's either buried, you know, underneath 6 foot of your backfill from your basement, or
the
soil stripped and sold, you know, to get the streets and stuff in.
They don't have, they dig up stuff for the basement. They don't sort out which parts are topsoil and which parts are not.
And so getting, you know, trees and shrubs and lawns and stuff sometimes to thrive in what I'm left to work with is absolutely a challenge. And some homeowners are aware and understand, you know, maybe we need to haul in some really nice topsoil so my lawn and plants do well. And some of them look at it and think, well, you know, dirt's dirt.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yep.
And so that's why some plants and trees thrive and some struggle.
So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get a little more information from Steve before he has to actually go to his real job, because his boss is mean. Back in just a little bit.
It's time to begin planning your landscape improvements for this summer. Nature's Green Nursery can design a beautiful, cost-effective, no-maintenance landscape for your home or business with quality trees, shrubs, perennials, soils, and mulch. Steve Stone has a degree in horticulture landscape. Call Nature's Green at 419-375-2322 today and set up a free landscape design and evaluation. Check out Nature's Green on the web or like them on Facebook. Nature's Green Nursery on State Route 119 just east of Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Do you have everything you need for Easter dinner? Wayne Street Market has everything you need to take care of your crew, from fresh vegetables and other side dishes to the ham and anything else you need, they have it all. And don't forget to order your veggie or fruit trays and your meat and cheese trays. Order ahead at 375-2865 to be sure they have it ready for you. Easy and convenient, make Wayne Street Market your Easter headquarters, the hometown store that saves you more.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 11th at the Fire Hall. That's right. They'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. The tickets are pre-sale only, and the dinners are only $8 each and are available from any of the firemen. And be sure to grab a couple of extra dinners for a quick lunch during the week. Get your tickets now, then stop down on Sunday afternoon, April 11th from 4 to 6 and pick up your chicken dinners. Just drive through the alley on the north side of the fire hall and they'll bring them to you. The Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 11th from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
And I usually get the joy of smelling the chicken while it's cooking.
You could probably sneak out the back door and go over and sneak in the back door and grab as many as you want.
Well, they have quite a few people there, so I don't think I can sneak in and out, but I get to smell it while it's cooking, so it's pretty good. Those firefighters do a really good job. And I just found out yesterday, and I hadn't heard anything or seen anything, but I believe the Boy Scouts annual breakfast is tomorrow.
Oh, well, good.
That's usually 8:30 to noon or 8:30 to 1, but I hadn't seen any posters around.
Doesn't it feel good to get things back to normal?
Yes. Yes, it does. So where were we? Or we can keep on talking about benefit food things.
You kind of got me hungry about some chicken now that you mentioned that.
I still have one of the pork loin dinners from the KSCs from 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
I still have one of those left. I bought three of them, and I didn't realize each one of them had two of these inch-thick pork loins in them.
Oh, boy.
And they're really, really good, but I couldn't eat them six meals in a row, so I'm still... I saved one, but I'm going to have to get into that one today because it might start turning on me, and I don't want to lose it.
Well, we were just... pretty much the whole show segment today was just about, you know, lawns, trying to get your lawns happy and healthy. I hadn't mentioned... we talked about it last week. Hadn't gotten to it this week at all, to kind of recap a little bit as far as, you know, this is a good time of year to, you know, fertilize and get that herbicide down. The pre-emergent herbicide is what you want to be putting on now on your lawns. Pre-emergent herbicide is going to, you know, it's encapsulated with your fertilizer. You can pick it up at, like I know Wanglers has a program with bagged products that you can buy and apply yourself. I just had an incident yesterday, and I won't mention who it was with, and I hope he's not listening. A real good friend, a really good friend and a good client of mine, we were he wants more work done at his house. So I was at his house and we were yapping about what all he wanted done. And he's like, hey, he said, the lawn you put in for me last year, he said, it looks really good. But he said, should I be feeding it? And I'm like, absolutely. I said, it's the right time of year to do that. And he goes, oh, good. He said, I stopped and picked this up. He said, is this the right stuff to use? And I got the bag out of the back of his truck and looked at it. I said, yep, it's a pre-emergent fertilizer. I said, it's got a good balanced fertilizer. I said, absolutely perfect. He's, oh, good. He said, I'm going to put this on tomorrow. And I said, perfect. I said, how big's your lawn? And he goes, well, I don't know. We're standing in it. Well, it's this big. And I'm like, okay, what's this big? And I said, you kind of need to know. And he said, why? I got the bag. And I'm like, okay, I guarantee you your lawn is probably about 15,000 to 17,000 square feet in town, typical in town lot. He goes, okay, well, I don't know. Maybe that sounds okay. So 17,000 square feet. What? What is that? And I said, read the bag. And he's fertilizer. This bag covers 4,000 square feet. And I'm like, dude, you can't apply 4,000 square foot bag on a 17,000 square foot lawn and expect you're going to get good coverage, good control, or good anything. Well, you mean I need to go buy two more bags? And I'm like, well, I'd
measure first, but yeah,
I'd say at least, yeah, maybe four or three more bags, two to three more bags. He goes, well, then the price I got from that guy that wanted to do it for me sounds fairly reasonable. I'm like,
yeah,
it does.
And he's not going to put on too much or too little.
Yes, exactly. He's not going to put, you know, a 4,000 square foot bag on a 17,000 square foot lawn and then wonder why, boy, this didn't work very well.
Or 30,000 square foot on a 17,000 square foot lawn. Yeah.
So again, if you're doing your applications, read the bag. And, you know, again, his lot actually was kind of, it's peculiar because it's on a cul-de-sac, so you got a lot of goofy angles. It's going to take you 5 minutes to kind of walk off your lawn and kind of figure out, you know, or if you know the dimensions of your lot, if you, you know, live again in a subdivision, you know, the dimensions of your lot, calculate the dimensions of your lot,
and then
back out your house, garage, and driveway.
Yep.
And then you know exactly how many square foot you have. So then you can, you know, make sure your applications are absolutely accurate. And hugely important to do that, because if you apply again that 4,000 square foot bag on 17,000 square foot, you're not going to get the herbicide. You're going to get lousy control or very little control because you're putting it on way too light. The fertilizer is going to be fine. It's not going to feed at the rate it should, but you're not going to hurt anything. But you're certainly wasting your time because you're not doing it at the right rate.
You're not doing any of the herbicide.
Right. And then you don't want to apply, you know, again, and most of the bags you buy at the box stores are going to cover between 4,000 and 6,000 square foot. That's just kind of ballpark. Mm-hmm. Those bags are sized to where they're somewhat easy to handle. So they might be 35 to 50 pounds.
Yeah. They're not long. On the size, their carry size.
Exactly. And so they're going to cover, again, you know, 4,000 to 6,000. I don't think I've ever seen one that a typical box store that's going to give you more than about 6,000 square foot in a bag. So again, you need to kind of, you know, calculate that out and make sure you get the right amount. And certainly if you have a small lawn, you know, please, if you've got a small lawn and you've got three bags and you've applied it at the right rate, but you have, you know, a quarter bag left, you know, it's probably not going to hurt to go through the backyard and finish spreading that. You probably would be better off finish applying that and not store it in the garage someplace where the dog or cat or somebody can get into it. But you certainly don't want to do like a double app. I find that more with people that are doing liquid applications. We will sell 2,4-D or Trimac or stuff in a liquid, and people are like, well, my weeds are really bad. So instead of doing, you know, 4 ounces per gallon, I'm going to do 8 ounces per gallon because my weeds are really bad. No. The 8 ounces is a really, really, really bad idea because you're going to damage your turf. You're putting way too much down. environmentally you're putting weight, you know, you do not want to overapply. You just simply do not ever want to overapply.
And a licensed professional knows that, and they can't, because if that happens, they can lose their license.
Absolutely, yes. We get checked. Actually, the ODA guy and I are actually pretty good friends. It's been the same guy for like ever in this part of Ohio. And so, yeah, the ODA stops in and checks our records. I think more than they probably should, but I would say every 2 to 3 years they stop in and they'll check our records and look at what we applied, when we applied, how we applied, temperatures, wind, and make sure we're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. And we certainly do, and we've never had an issue. So Don comes and goes, and we kind of laugh and talk, and he kind of does his job and checks, and hey, good job, Stoney, and then away he goes. So we never have an issue. But yeah, absolutely, we have to apply. And we get checked. And if we would misapply, there's significant issues we could run into financially. And then, you know, I don't think you're going to get thrown in jail, but they're going to find the living daylights out of you. Yeah. So, it's a big deal.
Yep. So
we're out of time.
Your boss says you have to go.
I got
to
roll.
Did you get a text from her?
I just got a text from that Brad Evers guy, and he's a handful.
So Brad Evers, what's he got to do with your stuff?
Well, Brad Evers is the head honcho of Easy Life Pools. So
Easy Life Pools?
Yeah.
Is that something you're doing now?
Yeah, Brad and I started a pool business this winter, and Brad's in charge and head bottle washer. And
that's pretty good.
He's doing a good job, and it will keep him really busy in the summer when he's not teaching, and I don't think he has a clue how busy he's going to be.
But he'll find out.
He will find out.
Right. So that's Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone for this week, and we'll see you again next week. If you have questions that you'd like him to answer, you can text him at or email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com.
Yep, steve@naturesgreennursery.com.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.